Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio today, as usual, we have Paul, our engineer. Paul, hi.
Hi.
So, Paul, I've broken one of my very, very hard, fast rules today.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a guest today. I try never to associate with people that are taller than me or better looking. And he broke both of the rules. So,
beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So,
and actually, just so I don't get hate mail, I'm just kidding. No, he is taller and better looking, but that's not one of my real rules. I just being funny. So, in any event, as our listeners know, this is primarily a financial show, but once a month we get to do something fun and do something that's lifestyle and something that goes along my lifestyle and what I like to do. And by now our audience knows that I'm really into health and fitness and so forth. So who better to bring than Tyler Mounts from Stark? Oh, just Stark now.
Just Stark. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Tyler, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah. So the other thing is, he's also a very seasoned podcaster, so he's probably going to show me up from all different aspects, Paul.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah. All right. So as a matter of introduction, a little bit about Stark. So what I know about Stark is it is focused on one thing, and that is the best version of you. And they take a 360-degree approach to help people look, feel, and perform at their best. Don't leave anything out there, Tyler?
That's the gist of it.
All right, cool. And then as far as you, Tyler, I really like your background. So I know you're from Washington, and you moved down to California in 2007, started your studies at Biola University, and then kind of got into personal training to help pay for college and so forth, right?
Yep.
And haven't looked back.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig so far.
Did you end up finishing school?
Yeah, I was in and out. But I did kind of the long track. I think I dropped out at two different points, but yeah, finally finished with my degree.
Okay.
Actually in biblical studies, so completely unrelated.
So yes, completely related to what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wouldn't change it. It was a good way to go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think statistically, I don't know, Paul, if you know, or maybe you, Tyler, I think the people who actually do what they got their degree in is like less than 10% probably.
And got to be declining.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this. So, again, being a big part of my life and who I am, I know you and I have talked before, and part of my personal story is I grew up an overweight, kind of bullied kid, and that was kind of motivation for me as a teenager, 15, 16-year-old, to kind of get it together, and it's been a big part of my life ever since. So there's all sorts of things with regards to health and fitness that I think are interesting and important. One of the things, let's start with this. I think this is a great kind of opening. So you use a term called auditing your health. And so with that term, how do you get an accurate picture of health and fitness?
The way that I would approach that is I'd start with what health and fitness isn't. And to some people, it's a six-pack abs. To other people, it's the ability to run a marathon. For other people, it's cholesterol numbers. And what happens is when you talk about like what is health and fitness or how do you get a good picture is you have to create a broader picture. The thing is that we tend to be too focused on singular factors when it comes to our health and fitness, and it's the sum of the parts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when we have too narrow of a definition of what optimal health or optimal fitness is, then we miss out on other potential benefits and other things that could be impacting that positively or negatively. So when it comes to getting an accurate idea of what your current health or fitness status is, you just need to look under more, you need to turn over more stones. That's the problem, is that people, they go to their GP, their primary care physician, and they get a really, really modest blood panel done.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, you know, it checks out, or as you know, I'm doing air quotes, right?
Yeah.
So it's not as simple as that. And on top of that, but on the other side of things, and so you get these people who are really in poor shape, you know, from a lot of things, like maybe they're overweight, maybe they have hormonal issues, maybe they have a lack of, you know, their fitness isn't where they want it to be, like they're deconditioned. That's mm-hmm. an interesting thing, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. like they get winded going up a flight of stairs, but because their doctor says that, oh, you know, your cholesterol looks good, or blood pressure is okay, or X, Y, or Z thing seems normal, like, then you're good.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's to the absence of disease is not the same as optimal health.
Right.
You know, so like right. that's really what your doctor is going to keep you alive for sure. But are you going to thrive under that model? Well, not with such a narrow focus. Similarly, we do the opposite, and we take it that we look at people fit, like their physique, and that becomes the end all be all as it relates to health and fitness, right? Mm-hmm. The more abs, the healthier you are, period.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we think.
Yeah.
Or some people do. But again, that's not, because the thing is like on the real extreme side of things, you know, like we do our annual fitness competition at Stark. That's the Stark Naked competition.
Yeah.
You know, and the reality of it is that, and the very, very, like that's the sizzle. You know, we love that stuff. But like, without going off too far, when I did it, I'm usually around 205 pounds.
Yeah.
When I took my photos, I was 188 pounds. Huh. Like, I was shredded.
Yeah.
But I was not the optimal picture of health. Like, that was out in the extremes, right?
Yeah.
Optimal health and fitness.
Body fat, something like
that. Something just super lean.
Yeah.
And the optimal health and fitness doesn't exist in the extremes, right? And so, on either side of things.
Yeah.
And so, when it comes to getting a good picture, we have a program where we basically, you know, we call it our ultimate package, where we really go in and try to get a full and comprehensive, that's what we talk about, the 360 degree view, mm-hmm. is looking at health and fitness from all of its various angles and getting an idea of where someone is in as objectively as we can with that. So,
does that include medical as well? The blood panels? Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Then,
okay. So to oversimplify, the basic components are, we're looking at body composition.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at blood chemistry. And that's a whole nother thing. Like, you could do an episode on just like what are the tests associated with optimal health. So we do a pretty comprehensive blood work. We do posture analysis, orthopedic screen, movement testing, and then evaluating other more subjective lifestyle factors, you know, things like sleep, digestion, nutrition, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if you kind of get an idea, right? So if someone has such bad posture that they have chronic tension headaches because they sat at a desk for too long, like that's going to be a factor, right? Pain. It's hard to imagine an optimal version of health in which you're dealing with chronic pain,
right?
So we kind of know that. Hormones. We all kind of know intuitively that those are going to be a menace if they're not optimized, right? So like low testosterone, we hear about the things that are associated with that. For women, like thyroid issues, we kind of understand intuitively, like if a woman wants to lose body fat but has a thyroid problem, we know that that's going to have some interaction there. We don't really know, maybe don't know how, but it's important. So blood chemistry is another one. And movement. You know, you want to talk about the quality of life.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to move is a crucial thing. So we're evaluating that in different ways that we can. And then obviously the one that is generally the greatest pain point for most people is body composition.
Yeah, of course.
And again, that's not an isolated number either, right? Because there's all kinds of health issues associated with obesity. Right, there's all these obesity related disorders, you know, like the effect that fat can have on your blood, like excess body fat can have on your blood chemistry, and the risk that it can put you at for different conditions and increase your risk of mortality. Like, that's a very real problem. So whether you're motivated by the vanity piece or by the health piece, like, that's something that needs to be evaluated.
Sure. So, and you're right. I mean, we've got several hours worth of show here. One of these topics is way more than a half hour. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you guys take a stance on hormones and rebalancing? Are you proponents or not of those who are doing things to regulate or you know,
like hormone, you're talking about hormone replacement?
Yeah.
Yeah. So bioidentical hormone replacement, I would say that there's people when it comes to hormones that are shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
We are not that. So in general, when you take so we talk about earning your hormones.
Yeah.
So the idea that, like, if you're gonna put a man on testosterone replacement,
yeah, make sure he's doing all the work first.
Exactly, because yeah. if you take something from a lifestyle standpoint, and there's issues with inflammation, and yeah. there's other dysfunction in the system, if you just drop a hormone in there, yeah. like for one, it's not going to have as powerful of an effect. And also, too, like, there is potential damage that can be done because, like, you hear this saying, like, the higher the tower, the bigger the foundation. Mm-hmm. So, like, we have to lay the foundation of health yep. before we go to something like that. So we are proponents of hormone replacement therapy, but it's a much more conservative position with regards to how applicable it is. Mm-hmm. And we're always going to check the boxes before we go to that. Mm-hmm. You know, are you, like, the reality of it is if you're just abusing your body through lack of sleep and yeah. you know, stress and alcohol use and things like that, yeah. there's a lot of potential benefit that can come before we even need to take that measure. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the hormone replacement thing definitely is a very, very powerful tool, yeah. but it's one tool in the tool belt among the biggest lesson you could learn in health and fitness is that everything is multifactorial. Mm-hmm. Everything. Nothing exists in a vacuum. Nothing exists in isolation. And so when you really understand that, things like the hormone replacement therapy become a one tool that you use to reach this idea of optimal health.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. You know, it reminds me while you were talking of one of my favorite quotes, some philosopher, and I can't remember who it is, but it is health is the ultimate wealth.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and you know, I like being on a show that's primarily about financial advice and things, because yeah. I think that you talk about financial fitness and then yeah. actual, like, physical fitness. Like, there's a, you know, how many people get to age 65 and finally start cashing out their IRA, and but they can't enjoy the fruits of all their labor because they're unwell.
That was going to be my next point, and I see this time and time and time again. So many people will forego their health to obtain their wealth,
right? Yeah.
For all the mm-hmm. reasons that stress and everything that goes along with that. And then at the end, now they have this wealth, and now they're trying to regain their health and use all this wealth to try to regain their health.
Yeah.
So it's this really weird perpetual thing. So balance, I think, is a great word. So why do you think it is so hard for people to change or improve their health and fitness?
That is a that's the maybe billion-dollar question. There's a lot of reasons. Again, I think that people get too sucked into this idea that it's one thing. You know, it really is multifactorial. So for just like to some of the examples I alluded to, like if there's hormonal dysfunction and you want to lose weight, that's going to be an issue. If you want to train to build strength, but there's structural issues related to posture or, you know, movement mechanics and things like that, that's going to be a challenge, you know, because, you know, you want to be stronger, but your body is not moving in optimal patterns, like those kinds of things. And so I think what happens is with people who have a challenge actually making an impact or in changing their health and fitness is they don't address for the all of the factors, or they don't factor for all of the different components to that. Okay. So I think that they get sucked into over focusing on one thing. The other thing too, why are people so hard, is there is this warped perception of the time it should take to make these corrections, right? So you know, the vast majority of people that are overweight did not do that to themselves in a short span of time.
Sure.
Right? It was the couple pounds a year,
yeah.
year after year.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you kind of reach that point. You know, I say that, talk about the frog in the pot, you know, the frog in the pot analogy.
Yeah.
Right? So I like all of a sudden one day you wake up and you're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Like the good news is you can actually unwind it way faster than it happened,
yeah.
but it's not immediate. You know, yeah. what took you 10, 15 years to get to is going to take a little bit of time to unwind, and it's going to take some intentionality.
Yeah.
It's going to take some discipline. So I think this warped perception. So I was talking to this one lady, she does a lot of nutrition coaching, and I was like, what's your like one thing, like your one dog, like, you know, you want to make health and fitness professionals uncomfortable is like, ask them to come up with like a dogmatic statement. Like, and so, cause it's, you know, cause nothing is that black and white. Yeah. And I was like, give me something, like, what's your one principle? And she goes, yeah. don't be crazy. That's the only advice. Like, don't be crazy. You know, so like to your point, right? Like your journey with health and fitness started how many years ago?
Yeah. 45 years ago.
45 years ago. And so 45 years ago, and you know, like people would look at you and be like, man, I want to look like this guy when I grow up. Like handsome, you know, you're tall. Like again, like I think you grossly overstated my status. But you know, you are where you are because of all of the small decisions you made along the way, right? And so people have trouble changing because they have a warped perception about the time invested. They're over-focusing on one thing or the wrong things, and they don't take kind of this slow and steady approach to things.
Yeah. There's so much that you've said in there. There's a lot of things we could take off on, but I think part of that is following these new fads and trends. I mean, not a professional like you, but one who studies it and, you know, as a hobby. And I've seen people, and I'm always getting approached on, hey, intermittent fasting or paleo or keto. And, you know, I think back over my last 40 plus years, I'm like, no, I never had to do any of that. You know, it was just picking the right foods, doing the exercise. So what do you, I mean, are you attached to any of those? Any of those do you find work? Is it, and I know I haven't let you speak yet, but I have found, unlike finance, where I think that there is more of a, I'm not going to say there's one way, but there are a few ways. I think with health and fitness, to me, everyone, what might work for me may not work for you, may not work for Paul. You know, so maybe I'll be keto and Paul's going to be vegan and, you know, he's going to be great and I'm going to be great. So you think there's truth to that?
Yeah. So that's a great, again, we're talking like three or four podcasts in here. So there, I think to your point, there's principles, kind of like the idea of the financial plan. Like there's some general principles that are a good idea to adhere to. And then also there's no one, like health and fitness is wildly individualized. You know, not only like what works for you won't work for me and won't work for Paul, but what works for you now may not work for you in 6 months. And so, I mean, you're talking about a tremendous amount of customization required for each person to achieve, again, optimal health.
Yeah.
So like, if you want to talk about, like, you can make improvements with some basic stuff, but I will, to your question and to anyone listening, to just to provide some value, I'll offer like a couple basic ones. A set of guidelines around food selection is not a nutrition plan. Okay. What you do or don't eat does not comprise your diet.
Yeah.
So when you say, oh, I'm vegetarian or I'm vegan or I'm paleo or I'm, you know, I'm gluten free.
Yeah.
Like that's not the reality of it is that you're ignoring possibly the most important factor of all. And that's total caloric intake.
Yeah.
You know, because the ultimately at the end of the day, when you talk about like our growing nation, like literally, you know, America, the obesity epidemic, it's all related to overconsumption. Okay, I'm gonna ruffle some feathers here, but like we are not fat in the U.S. because of gluten. Like, mind you, I generally eat a grain-free diet. Yeah. That's, you know, we can get more into that another time or whatever. But people are overweight because of overconsumption. So, in terms of just really general principles, someone's like, how should I eat? Like, what's the best diet out there?
Yeah.
Okay, you should factor total caloric intake.
Yeah,
you ought to optimize protein intake. Those are some just really general ones that I think like people that if I'm going to make some categorical statements, don't overeat, you know, get enough protein because there's a lot of negative health consequences that can come with not getting sufficient protein. And then the other thing too, is that when you talk about, what's really, really interesting is to, you know what blue zones are?
In your heart rate blue zone?
No. Okay. Blue zones like in the world where the blue zones are the areas of the world that have the highest concentration of centenarians, people who live over 100.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
yeah.
One of them's, you know, Loma Linda, right?
Okay.
So Loma Linda is a blue zone. You've got Okinawa. You've got these.
Okay.
I think maybe it's Crete or one of the islands in the Greece. Like these are places where there's just all these people that live forever, massive amounts of longevity, and not just that, but high quality of life too.
Yeah.
If you want to try and draw a conclusion about what the optimal diet is by looking at those blue zones, you will not find one. But what you will find is that they, generally speaking, hold to traditions of eating whole, nutritious foods. Mm-hmm. So I'll go out there and say the less processed food you eat, the better.
Fair enough.
So that's a broad generalization. Not to say that I don't ever eat something that came out of a wrapper.
Yeah.
But in general, eating whole nutritious foods is good for multiple reasons. One, our brain accurately understands the energy of the food coming in when it is a whole nutritious food,
mm-hmm.
right? So when you talk about the calories contained in apples and chicken breasts and broccoli and rice, like we eat those calories and our brain sort of accurately registers like, hey, I got this much energy in. But if you eat a Pop-Tart, you know, like when I eat a Pop-Tart, like yeah. I don't even know how many calories in a Pop-Tart, right? Like maybe a couple hundred.
That's Pop. He has one on his desk.
Yeah,
I think exactly. I have one right there.
Yeah. So it's like you eat the Pop-Tart and you're like, okay, where are the other three?
Yeah.
You know, like, so your brain doesn't register like the actual the amount of energy from food coming in.
I got it.
So, just to distill it out, I'd say watch your total caloric intake. That's going to be the biggest thing. Like you look at the people like that are older and really, really healthy and really, really fit. Like they've just probably been like lived the everything in moderation mindset for 50 plus years. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here's a really good way to put it. No one either ended up in poor health or ended up in great health because of something they did in 30 days.
Right.
You know what right. I mean? I mean, yeah. like, so you want That's to talk about one. Principles that you're drawing from, like, your financial planning thing. Like, no one worked really, really hard for a year and then retired wealthy, right?
Right.
And so I would say watch your total caloric intake. Make sure you get enough protein. And in general, eat whole, nutritious foods. Like, if you stick to those things, you're doing better than 99% of the people out there.
So this is probably going to embarrass myself more than I realize when I say this out loud. But when you and I got together for lunch, it was around the holidays. And one thing that you will learn about me and most people know is I get a rhythm. I do the same thing. I'm very, very, I get in my rhythm. I do the same thing all the time. So part of that is my eating habit. And my eating habit is I got to eat every 2.5-3 hours. We talked about this, so don't start laughing. So that's just the way I do it. And that's kind of old school, kind of old physique, bodybuilding routine, right? So I've done that forever and ever. And when we were talking about like Thanksgiving or Christmas, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to eat these meals and then, you know, the big, you know, it might have been Thanksgiving. It's like, hey, just miss a couple of meals, eat your big meal at Thanksgiving, you'll have the same calories at the end of the day. And I'm like, wow, that makes sense.
Yeah, but especially to a financial guy, right? Yeah, budgeting.
That's right. Budgeting my calories. But then I still had to wrestle with, well, I didn't get my protein fix like for, you know, maybe like a 3-hour or 6-hour span. So I kind of freaked out about that for a few minutes. But everything ended well.
Yeah, you're here. Still.
That's right.
You're still breathing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and to that, that's a whole nother thing too, right? Because you mentioned intermittent fasting briefly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do you eat it in, you know, there's all these people that say you should eat 6 small meals, you should eat 3 square meals, you should condense it all into a 6-hour window with intermittent fasting. Those things, I'll just say this, when you eat things is far, 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 far secondary, tertiary, however, to how much you eat in total.
In a 24-hour
period. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you talk about like your total consumption. Like to me, what you eat or is particularly when you eat it, should be more a strategy to manage how much you eat.
Hmm.
Like there's no, like, you cannot eat things in a certain pattern or certain order at certain times today that make them less calories than they are. Like you laugh, physics, you laugh, right? Yeah. But it's silly, right? We micro engineer the day.
Yeah.
You lose the forest for the trees, right? Yeah. You're focused so much on when I'm eating stuff that you're like, you're losing the idea that like I'm consistently over consuming my calories.
Yeah.
So you do the 6 meals a day thing. My wife does that one. Like portion control is not my jam.
Yeah.
If I eat 6 times a day, I'm going to overeat.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about individualization, like intermittent fasting could work for someone like me.
Yeah.
You know, but it may not work for someone else. And so those things like, you know, when you eat, like those are tactics and strategies that will enable you to maintain the most important thing, which is your total intake.
Yeah. So it's, I'm really getting myself in trouble because now I'm going to bring my wife into it. I've never really talked about her on the show, and
I don't want that. I don't want that on my. I don't want that on me. I don't want to get in trouble. Get you in trouble.
So I'm just going to actually. So she won't exercise. She manages her weight by calories in, calories out. That's kind of been her thing. It's always been eating. Maybe she takes a walk once in a while. That's it, and it's worked for her. Okay, so. And but as she is getting older, weight has been more of an issue, and there's definitely some hormone or thyroid thing, I believe. But she just recently went through a whole span of, call it keto paleo, right? It was bacon, eggs, and all this stuff. And I look at that, and I know everyone's differently, and I don't want to get any, you know, hate mail on this, but it's just like, that really doesn't work for me, because I have kind of a high fat, you know, issue in my mind that I have to deal with. So it never worked for me. So she didn't eat anything. And she's like, you know, and she lost weight for maybe a couple of weeks, then stopped losing weight, and then got frustrated and started putting weight back on. So now she could be more opposite. She has been for 9 days on basically a vegetarian cleanse, like celery juice in the morning, water, lemon. And she's like, honey, pound today, another pound, a pound and a half. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And she has a little bit of protein later. I'm like, honey, you're kind of eating just like me right now. You know, throwing a little sweet potato and you got an ale.
Yeah. You know, those things, again, you, energy balance, you know, you cannot, people, biohacking, you heard that term before? People talk about biohacking, this idea like you're gonna maximize the efficiencies so you can get more results from a physiology standpoint with like less inputs. But I mean, you cannot hack physics.
Yes.
Right. So the reality of it is that she could have stuck with her original sort of like keto paleo type diet,
calories,
and or increased activity.
Oh yeah.
Right. You know, so she could have worked out, and or as again, she's probably more dieting intuitively in terms of she's focusing on what she's eating and less how much she's eating.
Yeah.
So what happens is as she. Now, this is the craziest thing, too. Like, our body's auto-regulatory processes are so, 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 so powerful. We don't even realize, like if you increase your activity, your body is going to auto-regulate an increase in appetite because you want to maintain balance.
Yeah.
Like, energy imbalance, a.k.a. what we need to lose body fat,
right,
is not something the body really knows or wants. And so, with that, for example, she goes keto, paleo, whatever.
Yeah.
She, without knowing, without really intentionally doing, because maybe she cut out some of the sugary stuff that's high in calories, she reduces her caloric intake.
Yeah.
Boom, starts losing weight.
Yep.
Now, as that such, because she has reduced her calories, her body starts going, hey, 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 there's less energy coming in. We should downregulate our physical activity. So now she doesn't tap her leg as much when she's sitting. She doesn't stand as much. You know what I mean? Or she doesn't walk around. I mean, whatever. Like, you'd be crazy. Like, it's all the stuff that your body will do with this. Yeah. And then now, so she lowers her caloric intake without really much intention, but then she also downregulates activity. Now she's back at energy balance.
Yeah.
Maintenance. And so that's why the weight stopped. So she could have either increased activity, reduced calories more. I mean, and again, not to say that she had the right plan, but you can make it work with any plan if you factor certain things in that way.
Yeah, for sure.
And the one thing I would say is, again, people want to say like, you know, low fat, everything, fats are bad. Or people want to say like low, like carbs are like the biggest criminal in like the world right now. Like everyone's like, oh, carbs are so bad for you. Yeah. Like they're not.
Of course.
Anyone who says that is wrong. Yeah. Okay. All of the research shows that if total caloric intake is factored and protein is optimized and long term, again, you look at studies that show low carb or low fat or whatever, they're always like what, 6 week studies, 8 weeks, 12 week studies. Yeah. You want to go anything a year plus, all of the research, all of the data shows that whether you do high carb, low carb, high fat, low whatever, as long as calories and protein are factored, tolerance and preference.
That's crazy.
All of the long term research says that whether you do high carb, low carbs, medium, both, it is irrelevant if total calories and protein are factored. So it's why I'm like, there's so many ways you can do it, right?
Yeah.
So many ways you can do it.
So we are out of time. Great stuff. And again, you're coming back. sorry to say. We have a lot more to do.
Well, that's good.
Somebody tweeted, wanted to know, let's get some details for Stark and what you guys do and where. How do they reach you if you want to learn more?
Yeah, two locations, one in Irvine, kind of near the airport, and one in Newport Beach near Fashion Island. Our website is StarkLife, StarkLife.us, StarkLife.us. And we're on Instagram, too, you know, StarkLife.us. Awesome. And things.
And before I close up, we all know we have a minute, but I always have the honor of asking my final thought question. So share with us your ultimate lesson learned as a fitness specialist.
My hands down, my one piece of advice that I would give to people is don't let the inability to do what's optimal keep you from doing what's beneficial.
Love that. Love it. All right. Thank you very much, Tyler. This was a great show. We're having you back. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.